Bill to the members, and I'm going to take a few moments here to try to bring the members up to date on where we stand with regard to Senate Bill 56 and the conference committee that's been appointed on that issue. There have been a number of discussions and that the conference committee has reached impasse and therefore would be discharged. I want to make it clear to the body now that I will not be requesting discharge of the conference committee. I think that we are committed to trying to resolve the issues that separate us from the members of the other body. And I want to try to summarize where we are. It'll take a few minutes, but I think it's very important. Mr. Speaker, you have before you a three-page document that I've distributed. The cover page to that document is essentially the most recent House proposal to the other body with regard to a settlement of this issue. I hasten to add, of course, for those of you that are not familiar with conference committees, this obviously has never been voted on by the House of Representatives. It is a proposal in an effort to reach compromise between the two positions. The Senate has also submitted proposals to us, which the rough parameters of which are outlined in the third page of the packet, the request for limited powers of free conference. If I can, in an effort to simplify the positions of the House and Senate, I can say that the difference between the House and Senate, the members of the conference committee, rests on the question of when any annuity program would go into effect. The House has proposed a stair-stepping proposal similar to that adopted by this body, but with a 1988 effective date, and has proposed approving this year an annuity plan which would not go into effect until 1988, but which a summary of which would be placed on the ballot for an advisory vote of the people of Alaska. If you are familiar with our constitutional restrictions, we may not defer to the people for a binding vote on this question, but we can ask their opinion. So the proposal is in the fall of 1986 to ask for the people's opinion with regard to the adoption of an annuity plan. Then in 1987, when the legislature reconvenes down here in Juneau, it will have a situation where we will have the vote of the people on that advisory plan. And the House proposal is that if the people have voted no on that annuity plan, no further action needs to be taken by the legislature in 1987. We will have a stair-stepping plan similar to the House plan, and the issue will be resolved. If the people have voted yes, then the 1987 legislature can come in and adopt an annuity plan. The difference, then, between the House and Senate is that the Senate has crafted their proposal so that the legislature must make some further decision in 1987 in any circumstance, while the House believes that if the people vote no, no further action should be taken in 1987. Okay. Mr. Speaker, the House has been operating under three basic principles that we think underlie the House position as reflected in the legislation passed here. Those principles are very briefly that no new permanent state program be created at this time. Secondly, that we not commit the state to any unreasonable long-term fiscal cost of any solution. And thirdly, we protect the people who are currently on the longevity bonus to see that they are not cut back, they are not deprived of their bonus. Mr. Speaker, I want to speak to those three principles and try to define where we are right now. I believe that the proposal by the Senate, the original bill, and the bill that's been offered to the conference committee as a compromise is a totally unwarranted government involvement in an individual's decision on whether or not to plan for his or her own retirement. It is, in effect, a state-subsidized retirement plan, and it is entirely inappropriate to create such a new program in a time of declining revenues. I cannot, in good conscience, support a new retirement program, a new state program, at the same time that we are in the process of cutting $500 million out of the budget of the state of Alaska. It is, to use a phrase that's been overworked this session, Mr. Speaker, socialism at its worst, because it is socialism where the government need not become involved in the issue. Mr. Speaker, with regard to the second principle the House is standing by, the question of fiscal costs, there have been a variety of Senate proposals on this, as you know. An original proposal was to so-called front-load the annuity program to make it more feasible by taking the money either out of the general fund or the undistributed income account. That was rejected by many people in this body. It, frankly, was not in the version that passed the Senate, so I don't want to mislead anybody, but that was their original proposal. The proposal now in front of the conference committee by the Senate is to front-load the annuity program by taking away the dividends of the people who are currently over the age of 65. So they do still propose to take those dividends away and front-load the annuity account with it. Mr. Speaker, even under those circumstances, even if neither of those were adopted, even if neither front-loading principle were adopted, the annuity program requires a substantial general fund appropriation in order to subsidize those people who are basically the age 50 and above, but less than 65 or 63, depending on which effective date, who will not get $250 because they're too late to get into the annuity. The way you're going to make the annuity program work is to put a bunch of general fund money into it so that they won't get a reduction. That general fund appropriation is tremendously expensive in the Senate proposal, and it continues to be tremendously expensive in the proposal before the conference committee. Let me try to summarize for you the costs, as near as we can determine, of the four alternatives that are before us. The bill that passed this body has an estimated cost of $755 million. This is obviously on into the future. The bill that passed the other body has an estimated cost of $917 million. This is page 2 of your chart, if you want to follow along. Now, the Senate proposed compromise, it's frankly a little difficult to determine the cost of that proposal because we get different stories about exactly what the intent is of that proposal. But the best estimate that we can come up with regard to the Senate compromise that's before the committee is a cost of $1.2 billion, higher than either the House or the Senate passed legislation. The House compromise that I have described to you, the cost is estimated, and this is not on your chart, is estimated to be approximately $890 million. That is because of the moving of the effective date of stair-stepping from 1986 to 1988. So, the House proposals, both of the House proposals, are cheaper than both of the Senate proposals. Now, the third point, Mr. Speaker, the protection of people who are currently on the program. There has been very little dispute about that. The House proposal does currently protect those people. The Senate proposal that's on the table, of course, would take away the dividends of those people. And again, it's not exactly clear where the money is going to go from those dividends, but that is the Senate proposal. But more important than that, Mr. Speaker, the continued insistence of the Senate on the annuity plan proposal, I believe, is resulting in a fraud on the people of Alaska. The people in the other body are trying to convince the people of Alaska that we can get around the Constitution, that we can somehow dream up some loophole in the Constitution of the United States in order to continue to provide what we've been providing in the past. And, Mr. Speaker, they have developed a proposal, and this is the proposal that passed the Senate body now. They have developed a proposal that is totally unworkable. And you've heard these arguments. The arguments were made in our committees. They have been made extensively in hearings. I just want to refresh your memory. These are the problems with an annuity plan. First of all, it assumes that the permanent fund dividend will not be repealed within the foreseeable future. That, I suspect, although I do not support the repeal of the dividend program, is perhaps a rash assumption at this point. Secondly, according to the Senate proposal, if a person were to pay into the dividend fund for many, many, many years, I mean into the annuity fund for many, many years, but neglected to select the death benefit. It requires an affirmative act to select the death benefit. And died before the age of 65, they would lose all of that money. They would get nothing even though they paid into that proposal for years. The third problem, Mr. Speaker, is that the decision to deposit money to participate in the annuity program is irrevocable. You cannot change your mind if your financial situation changes later. Any of you that have an IRA know that your decision is revocable. You can change your mind if you have financial emergencies. That will not be possible with the Senate proposal. It is clear from the Senate proposal that this annuity will not be tax exempt. Without front loading, it will not be tax exempt. It's also clear from the annuity proposal that a person will not have to be a resident of Alaska to receive the annuity. So it will not accomplish one of its asserted purposes, which is to stop the flight of senior citizens out of Alaska. They can invest in the annuity fund, move to Florida, and those checks will be going every month out of Alaska into Florida for the rest of their lives. And finally, Mr. Speaker, the annuity account that's proposed to be set up is not a vested right. There is no legal right to it in the Senate proposal. And in fact, there is a specific statement in the Senate proposal that the state has no obligation to fund the annuity account. So I think, Mr. Speaker, that the annuity proposal is a fraud on the people, and they do not understand that it has the drawbacks that I have outlined. Now, Mr. Speaker, and I'm getting close to the end here, the Senate proposal that is on the table in the conference committee will not solve the problem. The Senate proposal, as I said, would require that under any circumstance, under any scenario, the legislature will have to act in 1987 to do something. And Mr. Speaker, we started this battle in 1983. We fought it last year, 1984. We are fighting it again in 1985. And if the Senate proposal is adopted, we will fight it again in 1987. And I am opposed to that. That is a mistake. What that means, I don't need to tell you what it means. You've been through the battle for 95 days here. You fought the battle, many of you, last year. You're going to fight those same battles again if the Senate proposal on the conference committee table prevails. Mr. Speaker, we cannot, in good conscience, leave people hanging for two more years. The people of Alaska deserve a final answer. We were condemned in 1984 when we adopted an interim plan so that we could study it some more. We were condemned then. We will be condemned even more if we fail to finally resolve this issue this year. Mr. Speaker, I cannot vote for a proposal that guarantees another bloody political battle in 1987 in which the people of Alaska will be the innocent victims. That is a mistake, Mr. Speaker. Therefore, we will not be seeking discharge of the conference committee, Mr. Speaker. We will hold firm in our dedication to a permanent solution to the longevity bonus problem this year, and to do any less would be to abdicate our responsibility to the Alaskan people.
Representative Rieger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I request special permission to the floor to speak on the same subject.
Are there any objections? Proceed, Representative.
Mr. Speaker, I agree and with the comments of the former speaker about the objections to the annuity program, and I certainly recognize that there is quite a dispute between the House and the Senate on that matter. What concerns me is why are we playing with the effective date for the stair-stepping plan when that doesn't seem to be the primary item of concern, and why are we offering a compromise when the issue is over on the other side, when this House overwhelmingly voted for the effective date of the stair-stepping plan when it was sent out of the House several weeks ago. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
We're still under special orders, and it is kind of interesting. Representative Clarkson.
I request the privilege of the floor to respond.
Are there any objections to the response? Proceed, Representative.
Special orders normally isn't a place for dialogue and debate, I understand, but the brief response is simply a matter of compromise. The Senate proposal does have a 1991 effective date. this body adopted in 1986. We were trying to compromise. We certainly we feel strongly about the House position, but that's what conference committees are all about, is to compromise.
Any further special orders? Representative Rieger, start preparing yourself for that particular conference committee. Hearing no further special orders, Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent the House stand in adjournment until 10 a.m. tomorrow.
Any objections? So ordered.